And Taiwan special, episode one for the week. Now, I am not doing a review of the ending of Game of Thrones. There will be some spoilers, a big plot spoiler, which if you've been paying attention at all, it won't be a spoiler for you. Mostly emotional spoilers I learned with Avengers and Infinity War and some people that I was talking with Okinawa. Emotional spoilers can be a thing. You know, sharing your emotional reaction on the internet can spoil stuff for people just as much as plot spoilers. That's something I didn't know before. I'm not giving a normal review of the ending. I could be, because everybody's doing it. I could talk about the strength and victories of family, the failures and shortcomings of family, all depending on the values we choose, the strength and victories of individuals, the failures and shortcomings of individuals, all depending on the values we choose, and the great symbolism and the insight of dragons. I'm not going to talk about those things because everybody and their mom and their dog and their dragon is talking about them. I do see them, yes, but I don't want to be regular. Well, other than what the doctor wants. If you're too regular, well, then you're just a bunch of it. So, one thing. I want to say this. I'm sure out there, there's going to be some fake conservative, I'll explain what I mean by that, who's going to say that the ending was feminist. I'm sure there's going to be some guy, someone's going to try to say that. And that would indicate anyone who purports to be conservative, but says that the end of Game of Thrones was feminist, is a fake conservative by definition. Here's what I mean. Conservatives, by definition, are healthily stuck in the past. You could say they're rooted in history. They know their roots. There are certain important things that never change, such as self-sacrifice, values, hard work, soft governance. There are certain things, not having central power. You can't have too much power with one government because no government, no matter how big, has the energy to do all of the work. So you have to release and free people to go do the work on their own so that there's enough energy and manpower doing the work that needs to be done. If you have one government doing everything, the government can't do everything, so it doesn't get done. So things are in disrepair. Things like that. There are eternal principles we ought not abandon. Conservatives make it their mission in life to not abandon them. Liberals make it their mission in life to abandon the bad things of the past. They're not on a quest to preserve the good of the past. They don't hate the good of the past. They just don't care. They want to abandon the bad. Now, what's the good and what's the bad? That's another question. But liberals want to abandon the bad and move forward and be liberated from the evil chains of the past. And conservatives want to hang on to the good things of the past so that we don't become evil and have destruction. So that's the idea. They might share the same values and want to do the same political things, but they have different drives that motivate them. The pilgrims were liberals because they wanted to be free of a church state. They wanted to be free of the king telling them what the Bible meant. So their solution was to go across the ocean and teach their own children to read and to get that done by doing it at home. First time in the world, everyone could read because they did homeschooling. Okay, so because, you know, government teaching everything in centralized education in Europe didn't work. So the New World, everyone was literate because they decentralized. And yeah, well, boom, America. But then by definition in America, they were conservatives. Compared to the Old World, they were liberal. So, you know, the people that wanted democracy in Russia were liberals. In Russia, after the Berlin Wall fell, the conservatives wanted communism. You got to understand what conservative and liberal means. It's relative. The terms are relative. So a conservative who says that Game of Thrones is feminist isn't conservative because he doesn't know his past. Sansa Stark, ever since she became like a pseudo Lady of the Vale. Was that season three? So ever since Sansa Stark started walking with a little dignity, she was obviously a Queen Elizabeth type. In her childhood, Queen Elizabeth had people around her caught in scandal, which led to questioning as she got older in her teenage years. I don't know the exact numbers with this, but she was accused of things and faced questioning for things that she hadn't done, but that other people had done. And red hair, Martin, who wrote Game of Thrones, the Song of Ice and Fire, the books, you know, he knew British history, the Rose War or Rose Wars. I don't know my history as well as he did. The Hundred Years' War. He modeled a lot of his war stories after this. He critiqued friendlily one of his heroes, friendlily critiqued Tolkien for having armies moving around without concern for food supply. Food is a logistic supply. Where is the food? They don't talk about that in Lord of the Rings. Martin thought they should. Martin saw this, and he knows Queen Elizabeth, and Sansa Stark has a lot in common with Queen Elizabeth. You can't see that without that there. You can't know history and see Sansa Stark and not think of Queen Elizabeth. You can't do it. So anyway, so we're not talking any feminism. We know Aya Stark, the assassin. That's Deborah from the Bible. Cersei, the evil queen. That's Jezebel and Athaliah from the Bible, as well as who knows who else. All right. So don't anyone that tries to say that there's there are kings all over the place too. So I'm just saying this because some conservative somewhere is going to say that Game of Thrones was feminist. And they're fake conservatives because they clearly don't know their past. There is feminism places, but not here. All right. Okay. I felt the need to get that out of the way. And now I'm going to talk about something controversial. And I'm going to tie this up, and it's going to be a thought provoker, and it's going to leave you thinking, and that's where the meat of this is going to be. So your spoiler alert is here. You've been warned. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. All right. You know, you've been told. The burning of King's Landing. I'm going to explain this in a way so that if you don't watch Game of Thrones, you'll be able to follow with this. The Game of Thrones is a TV series based on a book. The first book was called Game of Thrones, where Martin, the author, explores the nature of politics and power and stuff like that. Other people will say it much better, but it's in that sort of direction. I think one time he explained that the way the Archduke was assassinated, Austria, before World War II, it wasn't where an assassin went up and just shot him. There were several assassins. The first guy tried to get him and missed, and then someone else threw a grenade to kill him, and then that bounced and hurt other people, not the Archduke. And so the Archduke was in his car on the way to the hospital, where the first assassin who failed was all depressed, sitting down on the side of the road, eating a sandwich, and here comes the Archduke in his car. He pulls out his gun, boom, and kills him, and that's how it actually happened. I think Martin explained that in an interview, the author of Game of Thrones. He says it doesn't happen the way we expect it to. And he wants the truth about the nature of power to be explored in the series. Tomorrow, you could be king until you're not. It changes that fast. And there is a somewhat, not always predictable, but understandable ebb and flow and eddy and current to it. The currents aren't straight in rivers, but they do move around. And if you understand them, kind of, you'll know how they flow. And there are currents and there are reasons. It's not always just and fair, at least in the immediate sense or from what we see. Now, eternity, when we stand before God, everything will make sense. But we're not there. We're not going to have that insight in this life. Some of it, maybe. But there are going to be things that don't seem fair for all of the knowledge we have, even though they are from the people who've died and seen God face to face. Okay. There are reasons why kings and lords and leaders rise and fall. And it's very hard to understand them all. And it's impossible to know everything that's going to happen. I want to say Martin pleasantly surprised me. I love that about him. Great writer. Okay. One example, and I've got to give an example so that you know what I'm talking about. At the end of season one, one of the characters, Ned Stark, he was in the Fellowship of the Ring. He was the guy that tried to take the ring and then died at the end of the first Lord Denethor's older son. I'm drawing up a blank. I'm sorry. I'm forgetting the names right now. Denethor was a father. Was Faramir the son? Boromir? Was it Boromir? Anyhow, that guy, that actor, played Ned Stark, Sansa's father. And he learned that the king was illegitimate and that the king was evil. And he tried to do a coup for honor. He was an honorable man. He was very honorable. He tried to do a coup, but his mistake was he didn't really have the resources of the kingdom behind him. He only thought that he had the resources of an army locally in the court. He didn't have the resources of the kingdom behind him. And he didn't think about the rule and stability and the peace and governance of the people. He was thinking about his honor. He had this extreme ideology. It was extreme and it was very simple. He was kind of a simpleton. He's from the woods. He grew up in the sticks. And he didn't get complex cosmopolitan life, which cosmopolitanism isn't better. City life isn't always better, but capital is a city. And so he didn't understand how city works, better or worse. He didn't understand it. And so he lost his head. As Varys told him in the dungeon, your compassion killed the king. It wasn't, you know, the king died hunting a wild pig. The pig killed him, but one of the lords told him, your compassion killed the king, not the boar. You were compassionate, and that made the king angry, and he went hunting, and that's when the pig killed him. And it was Ned Stark's compassion as a governor that angered the king and led to his death. Okay, at the end, eventually Ned Stark lost his head because he didn't understand how the power game worked. Okay, and that was a surprise to everybody, but it was understandable, and it's true, and it's not fun, but it's true, and darn it, we liked him, but he didn't know the game. And George Martin explores that throughout the story, always again and again and again. The bad guys win for a time, but then eventually they lose. Good guys that are simple lose, but good guys that are shrewd eventually come out on top, and you're not always sure who's going to be who, and there are signs, but you don't see them all. And then we get to the capital city, King's Landing, being burned. When Daenerys, the mother of dragons, comes with her army, and she's furious, the city surrenders only after she burned down the walls with her dragon. And she burns the whole city, women and children, alive, and then executes all the soldiers afterwards, even after they surrendered. That's not fair, right? That's mean, right? She's a tyrant. She's an idealist. She's a Napoleon type. Interestingly, Daenerys' rise is similar to Queen Esther of the Bible in her innocent beginnings, but then she morphs into this Napoleon type who's a conqueror, a liberator who kills evil, bad people who need to be killed, who and frees good people who needed to be freed, but doesn't know how to stop. Only doesn't know how to govern, doesn't know how to have power through mercy, only knows how to conquer and conquer and conquer and conquer, and it never stops. And she burned a city. Now, I'm telling you, I'm not, see, someone's, I don't know who's still listening. Someone probably thought this was boring. I don't know how you're going to feel about this. This is going to sound offensive to people, but the whole point of the events in Game of Thrones is to offend our logic with the reality. I'm not going to say that the people in King's Landing deserved to be burned alive. They did not deserve that. It wasn't fair. It wasn't right. I wouldn't have done it. It was wrong. It was bad. But it was a bad, wrong thing that they invited. It was bad and wrong, but it wasn't without invitation. And that's what my point is. If you've waited this long, this is the gold. In King's Landing, those people could have overthrown their evil queen. They could have refused to work. They could have insisted on dying as martyrs. They could have said, "You are an evil queen. We're not having it. Not happening." The Scots resisted England. People can resist. The people, the power always resides with the people. But those people were afraid, and they didn't know that they were strong. And that goes back to the point that I did this week. When good people do nothing, they become part of the evil. Good people are very strong. Daenerys' army was a good army. And for the most part, she was a good person, except that she was a conqueror who was delusional. Now, children got burned alive. What about them? Well, the children were innocent victims, but victims of who? That's my point. The children in King's Landing were not victims of Daenerys and her dragons. They were victims of their parents who wouldn't stand up to the evil queen of the city. The people of that city were evil. Daenerys had taken her dragons and she had freed slaves who wore chains. They went around their lives with chains and they lived in chains, and she freed them and they rebelled against their masters and they followed her and they welcomed her. Daenerys went around and she did that from city to city to city. But when she got to the capital city, controlled by an evil queen, the people of that city were free in name, but in their minds, they were bound to this evil queen. They thought they couldn't overcome her. They were like elephants. They were like circus elephants trained from childhood that if they're tied to something, even a stake in the ground, then they can't break free from it. They didn't know. Their chains, they were the biggest slaves of all, because their chains were invisible. And those people let their invisible chains, or psychological chains, they let those chains make them slaves to an evil queen. They would not overthrow the evil queen, and so Daenerys had to. And that's why she was angry and burned them alive. It was wrong, but it was invited. When good people don't do what's right, they help evil. So again, the children, they were innocent, but my point is that the children were victims of their weak, cowardly parents. It wasn't Daenerys that burned them. It was their parents. just how Lord Varys told Ned Stark, it wasn't the wild boar that killed the king. Your compassion killed the king. Just how Drogon knew that it was not his mother's lover who killed her. It was the throne who killed his mother's lover. And Drogon knew who to blame. Or what to blame. So, okay. All right. That's my little analysis. Here's my point. This relates directly to Taiwan. Because the Taiwanese, as I'm finding, not all. There are Taiwanese who resist, who stand up to the man and resist. Resist we much. There are those in Taiwan from here, you know, here and there. But the vast majority of the Taiwanese people are beaten down just like the people of King's Landing were. Taiwan has a democracy. They're free, but they still have their old Confucian thinking. You run into this. I've talked about this in Christian ministry and missionary philosophy and that type of stuff. They say, when you go to Asia, they've got this shame culture, this power distance. Jesus says, drop your shame. Jesus says, repent and forgive. Confess to your friends. You don't have to say everything to people, but tell, if you did something wrong, go tell people. Tell your friends, I did this wrong. I made a mistake. Please forgive me. But in Asian culture, they don't understand that. And the missionary teachers say they never will. That's what Jesus teaches, but they can't learn it. So take them Jesus without teaching what Jesus teaches. And I think that's a bunch of malarkey. But here's the problem. All that Asian thinking, that old school, it's rooted, a lot of it's rooted in Confucianism, a lot of it's rooted in the empire culture. That old culture makes them have invisible chains, just like in King's Landing. Taiwan has a democracy. As I say, you know, you can take the Taiwanese out of China, but it's another thing to take the China out of the Taiwanese, you know, so to speak. The Taiwanese are beaten down by their old history culture, just like the people of King's Landing. And I don't know what God is going to do. It's not over yet. We'll have to wait and see. See you later.